Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Many countries will fall, but Edom, Moab, and the leaders of Ammon will be delivered from his hand. He will extend his power over many countries. Egypt will not escape. He will gain control of the treasures of gold and silver and all the riches of Egypt with the Libyans and Cushites in submission. But reports from the east and the north will alarm him, and he will set out in a great rage to destroy and annihilate many.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his series titled The Story of God. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 through 14, in a message titled God's Faithfulness to His Word and His People. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Most scholars today, whether they even acknowledge that Daniel has significance for the future, most scholars today believe that Jesus was crucified in either AD 30 or AD 33. So that's where this date lands us. 77-year periods are determined for your people. And from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, and that was, again, specifically the command of Artaxerxes, where the command of Cyrus did not include the city, only the temple. So this is where we come. Now, fast forward to this moment, I quoted from Sir Robert Anderson, and he's been gone a long time. But more recently, Cambridge scientist Sir Colin Humphreys, along with astrophysicist Graham Waddington of Oxford, so a Cambridge and an Oxford scientist here, they recently calculated that Jesus died on the 3rd of April, 33 AD. So we land maybe not on the exact date, but we land at the exact period of time in which all of this would happen. Now, the angel Gabriel said three things would happen at the end of the 69 7-year periods. So what are the three things? Number one, Messiah will be put to death and have nothing. Now, it's interesting. I'm using the NIV. I think most of you know that we teach from the NIV now. The NIV is very bold to put here that Messiah will be put to death. The anointed one will be put to death. Literally, it says cut off. But implied in that Hebrew phrase is death. And so the translators of the NIV just went for it. They just said put to death. And that, of course, is exactly what happened. He would be put to death and have nothing. And this is what happened with Jesus. He came to his own did not receive him. And so he comes as the rightful king. He comes as the anointed one. But in the end, he is put to death and he has nothing. Secondly, here's where it gets very fascinating, and the people of the ruler or the prince who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, here's where it gets a little bit challenging in looking at the passage, because you have two rulers or princes that are being spoken of here. Now, it seems absolutely certain that the first one is Jesus. He's the anointed one, the Messiah, the ruler or the prince. He's put to death. He receives nothing. But now we have a different ruler, a different prince, and it says that the people related to this prince will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And then the third and final thing is that wars and desolations will continue to the end. So let's go on a little bit of a history journey here for a moment. So as we've seen, Jesus was crucified sometime around 33 AD. Less than 40 years later, the temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. Wars and desolations followed until Jerusalem was completely wiped off the map. So here's how it went. Vespasian originally laid siege to Jerusalem. Vespasian was called back to Rome and made the emperor, and his son Titus carried on the besiegement of Jerusalem, and Titus conquered Jerusalem and destroyed the temple in 70 AD. And multitudes of Jews were slaughtered. Multitudes were led off into slavery and captivity. But there still was a remnant of Jews in the land. And that remnant of Jews in the land, they continued to rebel against Rome. And there were just various times throughout the next 100 years or so where there were these revolts. The most egregious revolt came in around 135. So think about that, 135. We're talking 100 years later, 100 years after the death of Jesus, not obviously 100 years after the destruction of the temple. But in about 135, the most egregious rebellion came through a man called Bar Kokhba. This is known historically as the Bar Kokhba Revolt. And Bar Kokhba was a false messiah. Bar Kokhba means son of the star. And a prophecy in Numbers declares that a star will come out of Jacob. And they, the Jews that remained in the land and continued to revolt against the Romans, they identified Bar Kokhba as the fulfillment of that. So he was a real bona fide false messiah. He gained such influence and power, even under Roman rule, resisting the Romans, that they were able to set up a bit of a government. They were able to mint coins. You can find coins today. There are coins in existence today with Bar Kokhba's name on them. So this is how radical this particular revolt was. So the nature of this revolt was so intense that the Emperor Hadrian himself came to Jerusalem to squelch this rebellion. And not only was Bar Kokhba slain and the rebellion was squelched, but Hadrian was so incensed by what the Jews had been doing, he just decided, I am going to rid the world of Jerusalem forever. And he completely obliterated the city, and he changed the name to Aelia Capitolina Palestina. Now, Palestina, of course, all of us say, wait, what? Okay, why Palestina? Well, of course, that is where the Palestinian name comes from. Why Palestina? Palestina was a reference to the Philistines. And remember, the Philistines were the perennial enemies of the Israelites, especially before David and during the kingdom of David. So Hadrian is just wanting to stick it to them. I am going to just rid the world of this city. And he did. And you know what else he did, which is very fascinating? He built a temple to Jupiter, and he built it on what today is known as the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, that area right there. And many believe, and I think it might be true, that the reason he built the temple to Jupiter there is because that is where Golgotha was. And that is the place that the Christians believe that Jesus was crucified and risen from the dead. And the reason to build a temple to Jupiter was to basically assert the authority of his gods over the God of Israel. So Jerusalem is gone. There is no Jerusalem from 135 AD. In 325 AD, Constantine is the emperor of Rome. Constantine claims to be a Christian. He's interested in the things of the church. There's a theological dispute. He calls the bishops from all over the world to a place called Nicaea. And there they're going to hash out theological issues. And the bishop of Aelia comes to the Council of Nicaea. And the bishop of Aelia tells him about the history of his city, which formerly was Jerusalem. Constantine restores the name to the city. That's when Jerusalem re-enters history. I don't know about you, but all of this stuff to me is so crazy. It's so fascinating. Now, since Pompey conquered Jerusalem in 63 BC. Pompey, you know, was a great Roman general. And for about 100 years before Pompey, the Jews had, for the first time since Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed the temple, they had for the first time gains independence. And they had gained independence through the efforts of the Hasmoneans, the Maccabeans, and they had about a 100-year period of independence. But Pompey came and conquered Jerusalem, and from 63 BC all the way till modern times, Jerusalem has been under foreign, meaning non-Jewish control. That only changed in 1967. From the time of Pompey till 1967, Jerusalem was under foreign control. Now, since 70 AD, when Titus destroyed the temple, there has not been a temple. It's interesting, though, as we're reading this, do you notice that there's a temple that's being referred to? And it's interesting for two reasons. Number one, during the time of Daniel, there was no temple. Remember, the temple was gone. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it. During the time of Daniel, the temple was gone. And then it's projecting forward, and even though there's no temple today, it's talking about a temple. All of this is quite fascinating. This brings us to the 70th seven. And the 70th seven is what is talked about in this 27th verse. The 27th verse, let me read it again. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Him, him. Keep that in your mind because we're going to come back to it in a moment. But look what it says. Number one, it says that there is a future ruler. He, in verse 27, he will confirm a future ruler who has some connection to Rome. And remember when we picked up and read chapter 7 of Daniel, remember it was the fourth beast that was the most perplexing to Daniel. And in the interpretation that comes, we realize that the fourth beast was Rome. So there's a future ruler who's going to confirm a covenant, and he has some connection back to Rome because he's, as we read, the ruler of the people who destroyed the city and the sanctuary. So he has some connection with Rome. Secondly, he confirms a covenant and breaks it in the middle of the 70th seven-year period. And so look at what it says. It says, in the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation. And then thirdly, it says that he will bring about this, what is called here, this abomination of desolation. An abomination, most of the time in Scripture, abomination refers to an idol. Not always, but most of the time it refers to an idol. So the picture is that this person's going to come. He's going to confirm a covenant with the people of Israel. There's going to be a temple, and he is going to break that covenant, whatever it is. He's going to break it halfway through in the middle of the week. 7 years in the middle of the week, that's 3.5 years. He's going to break it. And at the temple, he's going to set up this abomination that causes desolation. Now, we're not going into any of the detail on this. And there's so much speculation about so much of this stuff. And most people get it wrong all the time. I mean, maybe you wonder, like, how come you guys don't teach on prophecy all the time and stuff? Well, let's face it. People that are doing it all the time are getting it wrong most of the time. So we don't want to just stand up here and give you misinformation. So we'll teach it when we come to it, and we'll teach it according to what the Bible says, not according to what the internet says. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. But let me say this, because some people look at this and they, like I said, some people say, oh, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. We don't even know what this means. It probably happened sometime already in history, but we can't really know. Let me just tell you this. Nothing in history matches what is written here. Nothing. There's no way you're going to find anything in history that's going to match this. Now, you do have episodes where there are some things that are sort of foreshadowings of it. There was a Seleucid ruler named Antiochus IV who came and desecrated the temple, slaughtered a pig, offered to Zeus. This is what brought about the Maccabean revolt. Pompey went into the Holy of Holies. He didn't desecrate it, but he went into it. The Romans, of course, destroyed it. But this seems to be talking about something after the destruction of the temple, something that would be out in the future. So if you go from 70 AD to today, there is absolutely not a single thing that is going to correspond to this. This is the future. Now, remember this too. Sometimes people forget. Jesus warned about this. Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Jesus said that this is going to happen. Now, he did say this before the destruction of the temple. So some people have said, oh, well, Jesus was talking about the destruction of the temple, but he wasn't. He wasn't for the very reasons that none of the things that are said here happened then, especially, as we're going to see, his coming. So Jesus warns about the abomination of desolation, but then Paul, the apostle, interestingly, he writes to the Thessalonians and he talks about this. Listen to what he says. A little bit of a paraphrase, but this is it. The man of lawlessness who is doomed to destruction being revealed will oppose and exalt himself above everything that is called God or is worshiped so that he sets himself up in God's temple. That seems to be the abomination of desolation. Proclaiming himself to be God, and now listen, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his lips and destroy by the splendor of his coming. You see, Paul sees a person, a man of sin, he calls him, a son of perdition, who gains access to the temple to set himself up in the temple and to claim to be God, who will be destroyed by none other than the Lord Jesus. Now, this brings us to the final vision of Daniel and the climax of the 70th seven. And I want you to turn with me over to chapter 11 now. So we're going to pick up and read verse 40, but I want to remind you, the very last verses of chapter 9, it says this, he, speaking of the ruler, basically saying he will succeed until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Remember that. I emphasized him earlier. So right now in verse 40 of chapter 11, we are picking up with him. Now between the end of chapter 9 and verse 40 of chapter 11, there's a bunch of history that is mostly history that has to do with the intertestamental period, the time between the Old and the New Testament, and it mostly has to do with the conflict that existed between a northern power called the Seleucids and a southern power based in Egypt called the Ptolemies. That's mostly what it has to do with. But at a certain point, it goes out beyond them and brings us to this reference once again to the person that we left off with in Daniel chapter 9. So verse 40, at the time of the end, the king of the south will engage him in battle. And the king of the north will storm out against him with chariots and cavalry and a great fleet of ships. He will invade many countries and sweep through them like a flood. He will also invade the beautiful land. The beautiful land is undoubtedly a reference to Israel. Many countries will fall, but Edom, Moab, and the leaders of Ammon will be delivered from his hand. He will extend his power over many countries. Egypt will not escape. He will gain control of the treasures of gold and silver and all the riches of Egypt with the Libyans and Cushites in submission. But reports from the east and the north will alarm him, and he will set out in a great rage to destroy and annihilate many. He will pitch his royal tents between the seas at the beautiful holy mountain. Yet he will come to his end and no one will help him. He will come to his end and no one will help him. Paul put it this way, the Lord will destroy him by the brightness of his coming. He will obliterate him. Now, it goes on. This is the angel revealing all of this to Daniel. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. The remainder of the chapter, and of course the end of the book, gives the actual time frame for this. And remember, this ruler is going to make a covenant with them for 7. He's going to break it in the middle. And here we have 3 references here to a period of time that equals 3.5 years. Time and a half a time. That's a reference to 3.5 years. 1,290 days. That's a reference to 3.5 years. So you see, all of this stuff is related. And then finally, though, but I just want us to see verse 11. And this is what Jesus was referring to. This is what he quoted. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 3.5 years. So there is this final period that is coming. Now, this is my point today. I wanted us to see that God keeps his word and he keeps his people. God is faithful to his word, and all of history is rolling out just as God said it would. He's faithful to his word. We can trust that history is not just a random series of events with no particular aim. Lots of people think that that's exactly what it is. But history is truly his story. And it is moving in the direction of God's kingdom being fully revealed as the Son of Man comes with the clouds of heaven that we read about in chapter 7 and is given authority, glory, sovereign power, all nations, people, every language worshiping him. That's where we're headed, my friends. Now, to try to figure out all the details like Sir Robert Anderson did with March 14th, we don't want to get caught up in doing that. That's not what we're supposed to do. Because there's mystery in all of this. There's still stuff we don't know. We think, okay, I feel like I've got a pretty good understanding of this, but at times we've been proven to be wrong. So the more we try to get super detailed, the greater the possibility of being wrong. So let's just stick with what we know. But here's the thing I'm going to leave you with. Remember this, that to a certain degree, the kingdom has already come. We're part of the kingdom. And so, yes, we're waiting for the kingdom to come in its fullness with the return of Jesus, but the kingdom is here now, and there's kingdom work to be done. And so rather than sitting around trying to calculate the exact moment, let's be about the work of the kingdom. Somebody put it this way. Many have used this terminology. We live in the already, but the not yet of the kingdom. The kingdom is already here. Jesus came announcing the kingdom of God is at hand, and it's here. And so, until the kingdom fully comes, let's do all we can to present manifestations of the kingdom as far and wide as possible. We're on a kingdom mission. And no, we're never going to bring in the kingdom in its totality, but guess what? It can be brought into places, into lives. And so it begins in our own hearts, making sure that Jesus is King, that he is truly Lord. It begins in our homes. It begins in our church, in our community, in our world. So we are on mission. Jesus formed church on mission. Mission is let's advance the kingdom as we wait for the King to come and bring it in all its fullness, as he certainly will do, just as the prophecy declared that he would be put to death and not receive. Multitudes of prophecies that promise that that will all be changed in the future.
Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. With all the chaos, unrest, and uncertainty in our world, behind it all is an unseen realm where a spiritual battle is being waged. And this spiritual battle not only affects the world collectively, but even our lives individually. This month's book, The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian, will give you an understanding of the battle that is raging behind the scenes. You will understand the enemy who is waging war against you, his tactics, and how you can be equipped to emerge victorious. As people of God, we must be aware of the spiritual battle we're all involved in, the sophisticated ways in which we're constantly being attacked, and the provision for victory we have in Jesus. If you want to be equipped for the spiritual battle we're engaged in, or to be able to help others become equipped, we encourage you to call us right now. at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together the Story of God series. Back to Basics is the listener-supported preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Brian Brodersen.